Now, a group that we feature regularly on our events guide is the Brentwood Arts Cinema Club, which meets once a month to watch a film that wouldn't normally be on general release. The club have their first meeting of the new year next weekend for the screening of a French film called Untouchable. And to find out a little bit more about it and to look ahead to what the club has got planned for next year, I'm joined now by committee member Joanna Moncrief. Good morning to you, Joanna.
Good morning, Alan.
Pleasure to meet you. We'll talk in a moment about one or two of the films themselves. First of all, before we do that, for anyone who's not been along before, give us an idea about how the club works.
Well, the club was set up around about 2007, and we have a film once a month, as you said, on a Sunday evening. And the club works on a membership basis, so we use people join as a member, and that entitles them to see the 11 films that we show during the year. We have a film once a month, but for every month except August. And the membership fees allow us to pay for the film hire and the hire of the hall. But we also welcome guests to come along, and we can sign in guests on the night. So we very much welcome people to come and sample a few of the films and see what they think of them. And we hope that some of those people will join as members afterwards.
Great. This is live radio, you know. And as you've been talking, we've actually been joined by one of your colleagues as well. It's Phil, I believe. Do you want to take a seat there, Phil? Literally just walk through the door. To join us to talk about the club. Good morning to you, Phil.
Good morning.
Hang on a minute. Let me get your mic working there. That's great. So great idea about how the club works. You've been going for quite a few years as well, haven't you? But it's the films really that this is all about. Who wants to talk about the first one? This French film, Untouchable. Joanna.
So the first film is next Sunday, January the 24th, and it's a French film that was made in 2012. It was an enormous blockbuster in France, one of the highest grossing French films of all time, I believe. And it's a beautiful film. It's a lovely one to start with. It's really funny, really lighthearted and engaging, but got some deep points to it too. So it's the story, basically, of an unlikely friendship between a wealthy Parisian man who's also disabled and in a wheelchair. He's had an accident, hand gliding or paragliding, I believe. And he hires a young black man from the Parisian suburbs, who's actually on parole for having done a robbery, to be his nanny or caregiver. And it's the story of this unlikely friendship and the development that the two characters show throughout the film. And there's a lot of comedy, of course, from the clash of cultures. The caregiver comes to live in the millionaire's or rich man's house in the middle of Paris. And there are lots of comic moments from his failure to understand all the manners of the Parisian upper class.
And this will be subtitled, presumably, right?
It will be subtitled. We subtitle all our foreign films. And we actually subtitle some of our English language films, particularly if they're made in Scotland.
That's no bad thing. And then you've got next month a film by one of the most famous directors of all time. His last film, in fact, I think.
It's Hitchcock's last film, yes. And I'm really looking forward to that. I don't know if Phil wants to say a bit more about it. But it's supposed to be a very witty Hitchcock, quite light-hearted, quite appealing character. Sometimes Hitchcock can be quite dark, but I think this one is a rather lighter, more optimistic film.
This is Family Plot, Phil.
Family Plot, yes. It's well, as usual with Hitchcock, when you've got comedy, there's an element of darkness to the comedy. I mean, it's got that kind of quality to it. I think it's a film which it is Hitchcock's last feature film. And I think at the time, it didn't make that much of an impact. I think people were kind of looking back on what had happened in the past and, you know, the great films that he'd made before. But it's something which in subsequent years, its reputation has kind of gone up and up. You get certain films where if you look at the listings of things, you know, one year you'll see them as a 3-star film, and the next, two or three years later, it becomes a 4-star film, and then a few years after that, it becomes a 5-star film, and you think, well, the film has stayed the same, but the estimation has changed. And it's one of those ones that's really kind of risen in people's estimation. I've only ever actually seen it once, but I was amazed by it. It's got all sorts of little bits and pieces, which is real kind of true to Hitchcock's style. And I just found it absolutely fascinating. It's intricate, it's unexpected, it plays little tricks. There are these kind of little visual games that go on. There are shots in it that you sort of look at and you think, wow, that's such a brilliant place to put the camera. An interesting way of shooting.
Sounds like it's the sort of film that you want to see definitely more than once.
It's definitely. I mean, that's one of the things about the film club, I think certainly from all of us who are committee members is, you know, if we've seen something, and particularly if it's a film that other people may not have seen, but you've seen it and you've enjoyed it enormously, and it's been a surprise sometimes, you've not known in advance that something was that good, you just want to go out and say to other people, look, this is just such a brilliant thing, come along and see it. And that's one of those films, and that's obviously the kind of films that we try and get onto our season, because to be able to say to people, this is your chance, you know, come and see it, it's fascinating, it's a great
opportunity. And it's 40 years old. It was Hitchcock's last, but 40 yes. years since yes. Hitchcock directed
yeah. And of course,
his last film.
He's a local boy, you know, Leytonstone, and probably arguably Britain's greatest ever director. And we've struggled, actually. This is the first time we've actually managed to get a Hitchcock film on there. Season, so I'm really pleased.
Looking forward to it. Can I just emphasise as well, there's we have a discussion after the films, which usually lasts about 20 minutes to half an hour, that people can stay for if they want to. Obviously not everyone stays at all, but that's a really lovely opportunity for people to share their ideas and reactions to a film, and I think that
that's
makes it
tremendous.
Really special.
Do you know what, one of my many bugbears in life is when you go to the cinema and the credits come on at the end, whether or not you've particularly enjoyed the film. I just like to say it's always fascinating to read the credits, to listen to the music, to see what songs have been in the film, all that sort of thing. And everybody gets up and rushes out. I take it that doesn't happen at your club. You don't tie people to their chairs.
No, definitely.
We don't. But usually people sit and wait. That's part of the film, isn't it?
Of course, it's part of the
absolutely,
film.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And quite often they do put something on it right at the end,
right
don't they?
The
just
end.
To keep
yeah,
you there.
Yeah.
But so if you're one of those people who gets up and all right, if you want to walk out, then just go. But please.
Yes.
And sort of stand there spending 5 minutes putting your coat. Anyway, I shall jump off my soapbox. You've got a real international flavour to these films, and Saudi Arabia, obviously, and that part of the world being very much in the news at the moment. You've got a film that gives a real insight into life there as well coming up.
Yes, in March, 20th of March, we're showing a film called Wodja. I'm not sure if that's the correct pronunciation, I'm afraid.
How do you spell that?
Wadjda.
That sounds about right to me. Wadja. We'll stick with Wadja.
Anyway, this is a film made in Saudi Arabia. It's the first film made in Saudi Arabia by a woman director, a female director. And I understand that she had to film it sitting in the back of a van covered over by a black cloth. And it sounds really interesting. It is about the position of women in Saudi society. But obviously, to get past the Saudi censors, it's had to come at that subject from quite an oblique angle. So it's told from the point of view of a young girl who's reaching maturity and who wants to buy a bicycle. And the story is about how she goes about trying to buy a bicycle and all the disapproval that she encounters for the idea that a girl should have a bicycle. And she's and you realise that she's coming to maturity, that very soon she's not going to be allowed to be out on a bicycle with young boys around at the same time. And at the same time, you've got in the background the story of her mother, who and the relationship of her parents. Her father is trying to take a new younger wife at the same time as he's married to the mother of the young girl. And so it's about the feelings of the mother. How is the mother going to come to terms with this situation? And it's very much about the development of the mother. And actually, although that situation sounds so awful, you see her developing some independence and some small signs of resistance. So although it's about quite a depressing situation, it's really quite an upbeat and uplifting film, which leaves you with a feeling that there is the potential for change in Saudi society.
Well, that's encouraging. I mean, that sounds like quite a remarkable film in so many ways. And the fact that you've got a film directed by a woman to start with is quite incredible in itself.
It's remarkable it was made, yes.
it's the first feature film in from Saudi Arabia, so it's a real first, isn't it? And it's, I think also anybody who may be out there who's seen any of the films, the sort of great flood almost of films from recent years that's been made in Iran, one of the things that you get with those is that whole business of how you talk about things which are complicated and very, very significant and important, but you have to do it in something of a slightly sort of sidelong way because of the rules about what you can and can't do. And it creates a richness, actually, which you get often in Western cinema or only in a very small number of films, because you're being, artistically, you're being forced into that real creativity to be able to say what you'd quite like to say.
Look, we need to take a break there. We will come back. You've got loads more films I know that you want to talk about. You've got a Ghost Story, I think, you want to talk about by the same director as Pan's Labyrinth. And also we'll try and squeeze in this horror film, a highly acclaimed horror film you're going to be showing from the 60s, directed by Roman Polanski. Just gone 25 past 11 on Saturday, Phoenix FM, the Feel Good Saturday. Alan Johnson with you for another half an hour or so. Steve and Aaron will be here after midday with Between the Lines, a very exciting weekend of sport, particularly locally with sport with snooker, and also that local derby between Brentwood and Billericay in the Ryman Premier as well. So plenty for them to talk about. We're talking films at the moment, though. We being me with Phil Minot and Joanna Moncrief from the Brentwood Arts Cinema Club, talking about some of the films that they've got scheduled for the whole year. Phil, you've got the lineup for the whole year scheduled, haven't you? It's the committee, presumably, who choose the films. You're both members of the committee, aren't you?
Yes, the committee make the ultimate decision, but we've always stuck to a strongly sort of democratic principle in terms of film choices. We, as the committee, we put out what we call the long list to our membership. So anybody who's a member gets a chance to have a look at the long list of suggestions that the committee have put forward. I mean, obviously, they could suggest things to us to go on that list in the first place, so it's not just purely coming from us. And then we look at what the voting is. And actually, this year, in fact, for the first time, we literally have chosen the top 11 films from the voting, which the members came back
so there
with.
Really should be something for everybody to appreciate
aim,
and
obviously.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Joanna, we're sort of working chronologically through the year here. We're not looking at all the films here because we really haven't got time, but just giving a taster. Moving on to May, and you've got a ghost story set in the Spanish Civil War.
That's right, yes, and this is my favourite film that's on the programme this coming year. This is really a fantastic film, I think. It's by Guillermo del Toro. He's actually from Mexico, but this film was made in Spain, and it's set in the last years of the Spanish Civil War in about 1939, and it takes place in an orphanage on a very sort of dry, arid Spanish plain. And the orphanage is run by two friends, Carmen, who's a very attractive, strong, older woman with a wooden leg, and Dr. Cesare, who's in love with Carmen. And they're both Republican sympathisers, and they're being monitored very suspiciously by the local fascists. And what makes the film so beautiful is it's told from the point of view of a 10-year-old boy called Carlos, who's an orphan who comes into the orphanage. And and you see from his point of view what's happening among the adults and the politics that are going on. But he also starts to hear these whisperings and to catch glimpses of an odd spectre. And it turns out that there's a ghost in the orphanage, which is a boy who was previously there as an orphan and who was killed in an attack. And the boy starts warning Carlos about an upcoming event that's going to happen. So it's really eerie and creepy. And there's all these scenes in the orphanage when Carlos goes down into the basement to try and find the ghost. But there's politics going on and sexual politics and sexual frustration and class issues, all sorts of things going on. And the reason I like it so much as well is, of course, we know the Republicans lose the Civil War. And the Republican characters in this film are the most sympathetic. And so in the short term, they're the losers. But you're left with this group of children who band together to survive the attack that happens at the end of the film. And you realise that these children will live to see the end of Franco's fascist dictatorship, and they will take their the Republican values and principles into the new democratic Spain. So I think it's got something very
interesting
to say.
There's always something to think about with these films, isn't there? I can imagine you don't just sort of leave and say, oh, well, that was very nice, and then just switch off. A lot to think about. And then you're off to Belgium with one of your films.
And then the film in June is a Belgian film by the Dardenne brothers. That's right, 2 days, one night. This stars Marion Cotillard, who's a French actress who's become a very big star. She was she received an Oscar for her role as Edith Piaf in La Vie en Rose, and has also appeared in some big blockbusters like Inception. And in this film, she plays a very different sort of character. She plays a young working class mother who's been told that she's going to lose her job at the factory she works in unless all the other workers at the factory agree to go without their bonus for the year. So the film is about her trying to persuade her workmates to forgo their bonus so that she can keep her job. So it sounds rather depressing, but again, it's one of these films which is lifted up by the performances of the main actors and by the relationships that you see in the film.
That can be one of the most powerful things, can't it? With a contrast between a film that is either incredibly sad and on the surface quite depressing, but actually has some, I suppose, for want of a better word, feel-good things to take away from it. Or in contrast to that, the other side of the coin, I suppose, I always think a comedy which can use moments of great sadness and drama can be very, very profound as well. I suppose it's the contrast, isn't it? Phil, going back to the 60s with another one of the most iconic directors for the film in October. This is the Roman Polanski.
Repulsion, yes. I mean, it's we've never really, although obviously Joe's just been describing a ghost story or a film with a ghost in it, we've never really had a what you might call a horror film at the film club before. Not because we've particularly avoided them, but we just don't happen to have had them. And obviously with this one doing well in the voting this time around, we'd show it close to Halloween on the 30th of October. And I mean, it's one of those kind of classic 60s films. I think one of the things that fascinates me about Repulsion is that in far too many horror films, obviously, you get the kind of cliche of the poor old female victim who's at the mercy of whatever monster it is and ends up with some kind of horrible fate. And given that the main character in Repulsion, who's played by Catherine Deneuve, is you know, disintegrating emotionally and mentally, she looks for all the world like she's the one who's going to be on the end of a nasty surprise. But the Repulsion really is a film. At the beginning of the film, you see her out and about in 60s London, but she's basically withdrawing into this flat, which is actually owned by her sister. And so certainly once you've gone into the flat, you really are in the film, in her world. And I think that suggests, and is accurate to the way the plot of the film works out, that because you are in her world, she's not so much the victim as the kind of manipulator. She's not manipulating consciously, or, you know, she's not in control in that sense. But however kind of frightening and bizarre and unexpected the things that you see after that point are, they're her things, as it were. And it's other people, actually, who are the ones who have to look out. So she's not the victim after all, but I won't sort of spoil the surprise.
Bet you love talking about these films once you've seen them. It must be absolutely true. You must go on till about 2 o'clock in the morning, don't you?
Sometimes we could do, but people have homes to go to.
Just very quickly, I'll ask both of you, is there anything in one sentence, this is a very difficult thing maybe to answer, but what do you personally look for in a film? What sort of film really does it for you? Joanna, have you any idea?
Something that makes me, a film that makes me think about things and shows you something in a new light.
And certainly plenty of these films are going to do that.
They
Phil,
do, yeah.
Same question.
It's a very difficult question. I'm a member of the National Film Theatre, BFI, in London, and I always say to people that the films I most enjoyed there were the ones, not the ones that I knew in advance were going to be, you know, this is obviously going to be a good film. It's got a very high reputation. I've heard lots about it. It's by a very well-known director. There would be other ones that I would go along and watch, and you'd sort of think, oh, I'll go and see that. It might be okay. And when you came out, you'd think, wow, this was so good. Why haven't I heard about this film before? I want to tell everybody else about this film because nobody told me about it, and I wish they had, because I'm so glad that I actually did make the decision to go and see it. Mm. It was, it would have been terrible to miss. It's those kind of the unexpected ones, actually, in the end, that become really satisfying.
I love it when you sit through a film and sometimes you think, well, I'm not particularly enjoying this, not really sure where it's going, what it's about, but something makes you stick with it. And then right at the end, you think, wow, that was great, and you want to watch it again. Does that happen to you?
Definitely. I mean, actually, one of the ones that strikes me and sticks in my mind is the African one that we had, Darat, where you sort of think, right, you know, this is made in, it was Chad, wasn't it? And who's heard of it? It's from Africa. It's not by a director you've heard of. Actually, the final scene of that, everybody was talking about it afterwards, and it was just remarkable. These are the kind of things we like to show.
It was a really interesting film, wasn't it?
Excellent.
And I find that even if it's a film that I wouldn't normally enjoy, I always get something out of it at the film club, partly because of the discussion at the end, but even just the sort of informal discussion we have with people as we're clearing up the chairs, you just get other people's reactions, and that's so interesting.
I would certainly like to say agree, because one of the great things about being a member, obviously, of the film club is if you use your membership effectively and you come along to as many of the 11 films as you'd like, it does mean that you may well be coming to a film that you might look at the write-up of and think, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going to be interested by that, but, you know, I'm going to go anyway. And you sit and watch through it, and then obviously you give yourself the chance to be surprised. And the ones that, as I say, stick in my mind are the ones that I wasn't expecting.
You least expected.
There are ones on this season I'm looking forward to, and I hope I'm going to be
That's a good lesson for
satisfied.
Life, actually, isn't it? Look, time is getting the better of us, but I know, Joanna, you wanted to talk about this Coen Brothers film.
I just wanted to mention it briefly, because we've had a few Coen Brothers films over the last couple of years which seem to have gone down very well. I think the Coen Brothers make films that are generally very entertaining but also quite unusual and again make you think about things or show things in a way that you wouldn't have thought of them. And this Inside Llewyn Davis is about a folk singer who's based in New York. And the Coen brothers like music and they like folk music, and part of the pleasure of this film is the folk music that runs through it. But it's a very melancholy film as well, because it's about a folk singer who's struggling, who's not doing terribly well. It's about his journey from around his tour, his not terribly successful tour through various cities in the northern United States. And you see him sort of having to sleep on friends' couches, and it's all quite downbeat. But again, uplifting in the end because of the beauty of his singing and the beauty of the art. So I'm looking forward to that.
It's got Justin Timberlake in it, hasn't it?
It has, yes, yes.
Look, you've got a real mixture of films there, but all of them have got something in common that I think you're both going to thoroughly enjoy. All of them, maybe for different reasons, maybe get different things out of them. Do just tell us where it is that you meet and how often, Joanna.
So we meet at the United Reformed Church, which is opposite the library in central Brentwood. And the doors open from 7:45. We meet once a month.
This is on a Sunday, isn't it?
On a Sunday evening, once a month. Doors open at 7:45.
The films start at 7:30.
Oh, I do apologise. Sorry, the doors open at 6:45, and the films start at 7:30. And there are refreshments available, so people are very welcome to come and have a glass
popcorn,
of wine, and often there's some cake as well before the film starts.
And the cost, Phil?
The cost. Well, you see, you can be a member, and the membership costs, where have we got to now? It's 38, isn't it, a year? But you can also come along as a
guest. That's for 11 films.
So
that is
It's a good deal.
That's pretty
it's
good.
Definitely
isn't
a good
it?
Deal.
I'm not going to even try to work.
You
that
can
out.
Also come along as a for £5 as a member as a guest.
So
of
if you just want to give it a try, or if there's one
yes.
particular film, you,
and
you'd
I
like
think
to see.
I think if you actually don't know any of the members, but you wanted to sort of dip your toe in the water, we're happy to call anybody our guests, as it were. So you know you can turn up and we'll make you our guest and watch some films. And obviously, because we want more people to be involved, we want a larger membership. We want it to be successful, and it's all about showing films that you love to other people and getting the chance to see films that you've never seen before and are overjoyed when you have. So
fantastic stuff. We have to leave it there. Phil, Joanna, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Phoenix FM.